Okay, so let's start from the beginning. Let's try and, you know, discover the Gemara as we learn it. Says the Gemara in Beitza da Bezmud Aleph. Beitza shenolde beyamtif. An egg that's laid and gets created on yamtif. Obviously, we're talking about the first day yamtif, right? Gemara's not talking about second day's yamtif, anything of that. First day yamtif, an egg is created. So Beishamai Imrim Beishamai says, Toichal, it can be eaten. Why not? It's laid on yamtif. Why not? It's food. You can eat it. Beis Hillel says, and by the way, I keep one hand in the Gemara and always one hand in the Rashi. Beis Hillel says, Loi Seichal, it cannot be eaten. Says Rashi, Beitza Loi Seichal, Boi Bayoim, it cannot be eaten. Which seems to indicate that there's a special thing, that day it cannot be eaten. The next day, it can be eaten perhaps. The Gemara is actually going to say that if it's laid on the first day yamtif, it can be eaten the second day. There's a special gzeira that day, mukta, whatever it is, whatever reason why it cannot be eaten, it's only for that day itself. Now, that's the first thing. People have asked, by the way, Rishonim have asked, that why they're discussing eaten or not eaten. Right? According to Beis Hillel, they cannot be eaten. Could it be moved? Is it mukta? Right? If it cannot be eaten, it's nothing specific to being eaten. If it cannot be eaten, presumably, it cannot be handled either. So why does Gemara say, Loi Teichal? It should say, cannot be moved. So that question is asked. But basically, Beis Hillel says, it's off limits. Can't use that beitza, you can't touch it, you can't eat it, it's forbidden. We'll soon see why. Next case in the Mishnah. Beshama Imrim, Beshama says, Sa'ar b'kezayis. Sa'ar, which is yeast, but it's not really, it's sourdough. You know, we have today chametz. We call everything chametz. Really, sa'ar is not the same as chametz. Sa'ar is something which creates other things to leaven. You ever go to these bakeries in Israel? It's a starter, right? They keep, or even bakeries in America, they keep a sourdough, which is a starter, and it has the power to make other things chametz. That's sa'ar. So the Gemara says, Beishamai says, sa'ar, which is a strong type of dough, b'kezayis. It's already forbidden with the kezayis on Pesach. Chametz, just regular chametz, not sourdough, not the starter, b'kekoseves. It has to be the size of a date. So look in Rashi. Sa'ar b'kezayis. So Rashi says, what is going on over here? Why is the Gemara bringing this in? It's nothing to do with beitza. It's nothing to do with yontif. So the Gemara says, mishum dahanit las mili, because these three things that the Mishnah is going to quote, have a mikule beishamai, umechumre beishilo. Because these are the chumres, or the coolest of beishamai, and the stringencies of beishilo. Usually beishilo is mekel. Here beishilo is machmer. The first case, Beitza shenol de biyantif. Beshama says you can eat it. Beis Hillel says, it's off limits. So Beis Hillel is machmir. Another case, sa'ar means chametz on Pesach, which is yeast, b'kezayis, v'chametz b'kezayis, u'Beis Hillel aimrim, no, zeveze b'kezayis. So Beis Hillel says that both of them, even the sa'ar, you're already chayev by a kezayis.
Kezayis is smaller.
Kezayis is smaller than a date. A date is bigger. I think Rashi tells us, kezeves, tomorrow. A date is between a kezayis and a kebetza. So therefore, a date is bigger. So again, sorry, according to Beis Shammai, sourdough is forbidden already once you hit a kezayis, an aleph. But chametz has to be a kezeves, a date, which is bigger. Beis Hillel says, no, zeb is a kezayis. Both of them, you only chayev if you hit. You're ready chayev when you hit the kezayis. So he is more machmir. So again, Beis Hillel is more machmir. So that's the second case where Beis Hillel is machmir. And the third case where Beis Hillel is machmir is ashechet chayev oiv biyamtiv. If you shecht a chaya, an animal which is not a domesticated animal, or an oif or a bird on yamtiv. So what's halacha? B'shamay yomrim. B'shamay says yachpor bedeker v'yichaseh. There's a thing, the halach is, that we only see that by kaparis, by the way. But there's a mitzvah of kisui adam. Kisui adam, you're only supposed to do by birds, oif, and by chaya, by a deer, for example. You shech the deer, you have to kisui adam. Regular animal, you don't do kisui adam. So people all get all excited when they do kaparis, they want to do the mitzvah of kisui adam. If you do kaparis with a chicken, and you shecht it for the shechet, you go to Rabbi White's shul, they do it over there, so you shecht it with the shechet, and then you do kisui adam. There's a mitzvah of kisui adam on oif and chaya. So what happens if you shecht on yantif? So you're allowed to shecht on yantif, of course. Oichel nefesh. You're allowed to shecht on yantif. So you shecht on yantif. So Bisham Reimun says, but you have to kisei dam. But how are you going to do kisei dam? with the earth. Earth is muktzah. What are you going to do? So Beis Shammai says, no. Yachpor bedeker. You can dig with a spade. It's a type of shovel. V'yichasa. And make kisu adam. Beis Hillel Imrim. Beis Hillel says, no. Lo yishchoy. Don't shecht. Elim kein hoye loy. Ofo muchon miboid yoim. Unless you have dirt. Unless you have clay or dirt ready from before Yantuf. Otherwise, there's a problem of muktzah. Now, maybe it's kedai, it's worthwhile to speak now about muktzah. The concept of muktzah basically is, on a basic level, is that only something, muktzah means I am separating myself. I don't want this, I'm not intending to use this on Shabbos or Yantiv. That means it's muktzah. Either something is, you know, muktzah, machmas, chisoron, kis, something is very expensive, so I don't want to use it on Yantiv, on Shabbos, it becomes muktzah, or something, muktzah, machas, mitzvah, or something, even without anything, just the fact that it wasn't meant for anything, once Shabbos or Yantiv starts, then it's called muktzah. The way to gauge it is by Bein HaShmashes, Shabbos, Friday afternoon, or Yantiv afternoon, right before Yantiv starts, you have to see, were you planning on using this? If yes, it's not muktzah. If you're not planning on using it, it's called muktzah. So therefore, the Gemara says that according to Beis Hillel, if you're going to shecht and you have no dirt ready from before Yontif that you know that you're going to use for kisei dam, so then the dirt has no value. It's not a kli. It's no utensil. Has no usage. So the dirt is muktzah. So you can't use the dirt for kisei dam. So therefore, Beis Hillel says lo yishchet elam kein ha'olay ufu muchan mimoydayim. Don't shecht unless you're going to have dirt ready from the evening already, from beforehand. Otherwise, muktzah, we'll discuss it when we discuss the Gemara, yes.
But the Shammai is more than muktzah. You say, yeah, you could actually dig a hole. Which is
correct, correct. Nice. I know, the Gemara is going to discuss how you can dig it in a permitted way. I don't want to discuss it because Rashi doesn't discuss it. Rashi says, big Gemara mefarish, we're going to skip to that. Umoidim, and they both agree, shem shochat. They all agree that if you did shecht, sheyachpa b'deka v'yichase, that you can use a spade and actually do kisedam, she'efe kiro muchanhu. What does that mean, says Rashi? Umoidim shem shochat, sheyesh lo deka notes meboid yoim. If you have a spade that's filled up from before yontif, she'efe kiro muchanhu b'gmori maikomar. I don't want to go into it. Rashi says, the Gemara doesn't discuss it, so I'm not better than the Rashi. We'll leave it for the Gemara. So basically, the Mishnah said three things. The first, last two are not relevant. What's relevant to us is the first thing of the Mishnah. An egg that's born on Yontif. An egg that's laid on Yontif. Beis Shammai says, no problem. You can eat it. Beis Hillel says, verboten. Forbidden. You're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to touch it. You can use it on Yontif. Why not? Why should it be forbidden? Why? What?
Muxa.
Why is it muktzah?
Because it wasn't there before
Yantif. Oh, wait. Well, what does Noilad mean? And what's the problem?
What?
What's the problem? So we'll see the Gemara. The Gemara gives four different reasons why Beta Shanel de Beyantif is forbidden. Four different reasons. Let's go. The Gemara is going to discuss what we're talking about. So let's start the Gemara. Says the Gemara, B'mayas kinon. What are we talking about? This halacha that an egg that's laid on Yantif is forbidden, why is it forbidden? The Gemara says, if you tell me, if we're talking about a hen that's meant for eating, look in Rashi. I'm using this chicken, I have a hen in my coop, and I know I'm going to have it on Yontif for my main meal. So my hen, I'm going to eat on Yontif, right? Is the hen separated, set aside? Am I not touching this hen on Yontif? Of course I am, I'm going to eat it. Is it muktzah for me? No.
Eating the chicken.
Is the hen muktzah? No, ain't a muktzah.
You have to pick out what specific one.
Yeah, I know that hen over there with the big red thing on his head, that I'm going to eat for Yontif. I want my hen for Yontif, I'm allowed to. So the hen is a medes lachila. So my tamayu de Beis Hillel. So what's the reason of Beis Hillel that says that the egg that was laid on Yontif is forbidden? Uchla de afrasu. What does that mean? Uchla, it's food. The afris that was separated. Look in Rashi. Uchle de afris. Oichel shenifrat. It's food that was separated. In other words, if you tell me the chicken is separate, is set aside before Yontif, that it's going to be edible, I'm going to eat this chicken. So this is another part of the chicken. What's the difference? The pulka of the chicken that I can eat? Because I know it's set aside from before Yontif, that the chicken is edible. And there's another part in the chicken. What's the other part in the chicken? The egg. The egg is ready inside the chicken. So just another part of the food. So why would Beis Hillel say it's muktzah? Why is it mukta? Why would Beisil say it's forbidden to be eaten? It's part of the food. It's uchla dafris. Okay. It's food that's separated. Why should it be a problem?
It's part of the chicken. Why is it?
Well, what?
Do you know the chickens at all? Do chickens lay an egg every day?
Yeah. Yeah, chickens lay every day, but even if it lays an egg on Yontif, it's already there inside the inside of the chicken. It doesn't just come out of nowhere. So it's part of the chicken. So why can't I eat it? Why, if I can eat the chicken, why can't I eat the egg? Uchla daflis. Uchla, it's food, the aflis. That got separated. So it just got separated from the chicken. So there's no problem whatsoever. So the Gemara says, it can be that. Elamai must be, Elo must be, betana goyles, haymedes, legadal beitzim. No, we're talking about a chicken, a hen, that's not meant to be eaten. The hen is just there to grow, to lay eggs. So the hen, is the hen meant for eating on Yontif?
No.
If it's not meant for eating on Yontif, is the hen mukta? Yeah. Is it animal mukta? Yes. Can't touch an animal, by the way. People have dogs. It's a big problem. Yontif, Shabbos, how are you going to touch it? There's a Tosfos that talks about, yes, how you can touch animals. It's like a... It's like part of a child, whatever it is, separate discussion, not for now. But basically, the if the chicken is meant to grow eggs, right? The hen is meant to grow eggs, that means it's not food. So if it's not food, Sigmar says, Elo, betana goyles and medes legadal beitzim, if you tell me it's talking about a hen that's meant to grow eggs, so my tamay de Beis Shammai. So what's the reason why Beis Shammai said the egg that's laid on Yontif is okay? What do you mean? Muktzi. It's set aside. It means the person has no intention of not eating the chicken or eating the egg or anything like that. So then the whole thing is muktzeh. It doesn't work. So why could Beis Shammai say that it would be okay?
Why is it automatic that the egg would be muktzeh?
Well, if the chicken is muktzeh, because I'm not meaning to eat the chicken.
But it's only the god of Beis.
I know. I know. So the Gemara is going to explain that, because if the chicken is not permitted to be eaten, then there's something inside the chicken which is not even here yet. Clearly, I cannot have my mind to eat that.
But it's only the god of Beit.
I know, but that Beit is not here. So if the chicken the chicken that's in front of me, I know, the chicken that's in front of me is not meant to be eaten. So no part of the chicken. You're right, the egg, but the egg is not even here. Clearly, it's mukta, it's set aside. So maybe the most question is that to say that the egg is part of the chicken, that it cannot be.
Technically, if I see that chicken's laying eggs, say, I want to eat it, not on the altar, if you could eat it.
What?
The chicken that lays egg that's not meant to be eaten. But if I decide I want to take that chicken, I want to eat it on the altar, I could eat it on the altar.
No. Muktzeh.
If I'm going
to
eat it.
Not if from Erev Yontif you decided, this chicken is not meant to lay eggs, and I change my mind. There's a great question about it in the Gemara. If I change my mind, if that works or not. But pashtus, if something is, an animal is muktzeh, so it remains muktzeh, right? If the animal is muktzeh, but when Shabbos started, the Yontif started, so even though technically I can shech the chicken on Yontif, but it was muktzeh, it remains muktzeh. So there's a question, more in Shabbos, if something was muktzeh and then it became not muktzeh anymore, if that helps or not. But from Hilchus muktzeh per se, that would be a problem. So the Gemara says, so my tamay de beishamay, muktzeh, it's muktzeh. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Umay kusha? What kind of question is that? Dilmo, maybe, Beis Shammai less lehu muktzeh. Maybe Beis Shammai doesn't hold the muktzeh at all. Look at Rashi. Less lehu muktzeh. The dilma ke Reb Shimon svirilu. Maybe Beis Shammai holds like Reb Shimon. The Oma beferekira. The Shimon says in Shabbos. Moiser Hashemen shebener v'shebekora asur b'Reb Shimon matir. Which means if you have a light and you light a fire on Shabbos, the fire is lit from before Shabbos. You have oil. You have candle. You have everything. And then the fire gets extinguished. Is the rest of the oil permitted? Olive oil. Could I use the rest of the oil, the olive oil, to you put in my food? Yes or no? So Abuda says, you can't. It's muktzeh. Comes along Reb Shimon says, I agree to certain things which are muktzeh. Something which is a pen is muktzeh. No question about it. Something which is expensive, money, is muktzeh. A rock is muktzeh. I get that. Why is this oil muktzeh? Oil is food. Why? Because it was not set aside from before Shabbos, or before Shabbos it was set aside to be meant to be burned a candle. I didn't mean to eat it. Says Reb Shimon, on this muktzah I disagree. On this muktzah I argue. Muktzah, which really there's nothing wrong with it. Just because it wasn't set aside from when Shabbos started, that muktzah I disagree with. That's what the Gemara says. Reb Shimon doesn't hold muktzah. So the Gemara is going to say, you want to know why Beis Shammai says it's okay to eat the egg? Because he doesn't hold of something has to be set aside. So therefore, according to Beis Shammai, the egg would be permitted, probably the chicken would also be permitted. Maybe Beis Shammai says the egg is permitted. Why? Because they don't hold of this concept of muktzah. I don't hold of it at all. You're right, I hold of the big muktzah I hold of. But this muktzah that something has to be set aside beforehand, it's an egg, for crying out loud. It's a chicken, like Steve says. What's wrong with a chicken? So before Shabbos, it meant to grow, to legadol beitim, it was meant to grow eggs. Big deal. But at the end of the day, it's a chicken that can be eaten. So what's a big deal? It's an egg that can be eaten. I don't hold of this concept of muktzah, that something has to be set aside from when Shabbos starts or from when Yom Tov starts. So maybe that's why Beis Shammai says it's okay. So Gemara says, Umay Kusha, what kind of question is that? Dilma, maybe Beis Shammai less lu muktzah. Maybe Beis Shammai does not hold a muktzah. So the Gemara says, Kosal kedaitin, we're thinking now, Afilu man deshori b'muktzah b'noilad osar. We're thinking now that even the one that permits muktzah, Noilad is worse. Meaning that the reason why the Gemara says that what's pshat in Beis Shammai, the Gemara is saying, what's pshat in Beis Shammai? Maybe Beis Shammai holds, the Gemara says, what's pshat in Beis Shammai, right? If you tell me it's a chicken that's meant to grow eggs, then why would Beis Shammai say it's okay? After all, it's muktzah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Maybe Beis Shammai doesn't hold a muktzah. So the Gemara says, no. The reason why we have a problem with Beis Shammai, because even if you don't hold of muktzah, you hold like Reb Shimon, that it doesn't have to be set aside, but noilad is worse. What's the difference between noilad and muktzah? What's the difference between the oil in the lamp that I don't want to use anymore for the oil, for the fire, and I want to use it for my salad, and that we say is okay because it wasn't set aside, that's still okay according to Beis Shammai. But noilad, the Gemara wants to say, that's worse. Why is it worse? Look in Rashi. Rashi says, Kosaka daitin, lochi pachinon, that's why we ask, my tamai de Beis Shammai. The reason we say that the Beis Shammai doesn't make sense, why? Because if it's something which is grown to grow eggs, which means the chicken is not meant for food, then what's pshat Beis Shammai? Why does it say the egg is okay? Why? What's the question? The Kosalka daitin, because I was thinking now, da filu le Reb Shimon, the shori b'muktzah, even Reb Shimon who says that something which is not set aside for use before Shabbos is still permitted, the oil inside the lamp, once the fire finishes burning, I can use the oil for my salad. Why? It doesn't have to be set aside per se for food. It's okay. But b'noilad osir, something which was never there yet, and it gets created on Yom Tov or Shabbos, that's worse. Why? The ilu b'muktze, because by muktze svirelei b'shamei holds, loy muktze in shemidaite, a person doesn't separate his mind midi dechazilei, something which I know at some point I might use. Like Steve says, the oil in my fire. You're right, the fire burns out. I set aside, I'm not using it ever for Shabbos. As long as the fire burns, the fire burns. I don't want to take my mind off it. I don't want to ever not use it. Why not? When it becomes available, I'll use it. See, it doesn't hold to this concept. It has to be, when Shabbos starts, I have to know I'm going to be able to use that oil. It doesn't hold of that. Even if I don't know I'm going to use that oil, that's still okay. Why? Because I don't want to take my mind off something which at some point might be used on Shabbos. So therefore, even if I didn't have it set aside from before Shabbos, it's still okay. Because a person never takes his mind off it at any point. He knows at some point he might use it, he still wants to use it. Aval noilat, but something which wasn't even here, loy have yoda, then have dait ulayu. He never knew about it, that his mind should say, oh yeah, maybe I'll use it. So there, everybody agrees that noilat is a worse form of muktzah. Muktzah, maybe Beis Shammai doesn't agree with, and he says, okay, if I didn't know about it before Shabbat, I thought I'm not going to use it, doesn't make a difference. Why? Because at the end of the day, I can still use it for something, it's okay. But noilat, something which wasn't even here, my mind was never on it, and therefore that's for sure no good.
Is that so, true?
What?
An egg farmer certainly has this.
Right. No, but it's not here. You can have your mind on something that's not here. That doesn't make sense.
That's your business.
I hear that. I know, but it doesn't work. The Gemara holds over here. It doesn't work b'metzias. You can't have your mind on something that's not here. You can say something that's here, and I might use it. Okay, we don't hold a mukta. It doesn't have to be exclusively for food. That's all okay. Something which is not here.
Okay.
I got it. These are all good svaras. I know. Steve. Very good svara. But the Gemara tells us that noilad is worse for some reason. Why is it worse? Because it's not here that your mind should be on it. So you can say, well, but my mind's on it even if it's not here. And the Gemara says, well, we don't hold it that svar because it's noila, which means your mind cannot be on something that's not here. For Shabbos purposes, Yonta purposes, that's called off-limits. I can hear that svara. You can argue, but that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says that maybe it doesn't hold a mukta, but kasaka daitan, afila man de shori mukta, even somebody that permits mukta, benoilat osir. But noilat is clear forbidden. So maitamai beishamai. So now what's the reason of beishamai? You know, this is noilat. So if you tell me, again, if it's a chicken that's meant to be eaten, then everybody would agree it's okay. Why? Because it's the pulka of the chicken. It's the egg of the chicken. It should be okay. Elamai, we're talking about a chicken that's meant to lay eggs. So if it's meant to lay eggs, then the egg is not here. The egg is not here. That's noilat. That's for sure mukta. So why would beishamai say it's okay? So Gemara said like this. Amar Rav Nachman answers the Gemara. Loilom, really we're talking about betana goyles and medes legadol beitzim. We're talking about a chicken that's meant to grow eggs. And therefore, if it's meant to grow eggs, therefore, Beis Hillel says, if it's meant to grow eggs, it's mukta, it's no good. It's noilat, no good. Cannot be touched, cannot be moved, cannot be eaten. But Beis Shammai holds, udi islei mukta, islei noilat. Whoever holds a mukta, which is Beis Hillel, islei noilat, holds a noilat, and therefore it's forbidden. But the leslei mukta, whoever does not hold a mukta, who is that? Beis Shammai doesn't hold a mukta. Leslei noilat. I don't hold noilat either. So in other words, why is the beitza? What's the machlek is Beis Shammai Beis Hillel in the Mishnah? Beis Shammai says, Beis Hillel says, it's noilat, it's mukta, it's all no good. And Beis Shammai says, I don't hold a mukta, I don't hold noilat. The bottom line, it doesn't mean it doesn't hold a mukta altogether, but something which is not, I didn't think about it before Shabbos, or something which is not even here before Shabbos. It's all okay. It's all okay. Why? I don't know the mukta. I don't know the noilat. Now I can eat it. That's fine. There's no such halacha that it has to be ready from before Shabbos. Now, by the way, the Meiri explains already, you can look it over here, that it doesn't hold of this type of mukta. Something which is mukta because of mius, disgusting, or mukta machem chisaron kiss, then he also agrees that is off limits for a person that he doesn't want to use. But something like this, which technically is food, why can't I use it on Shabbos? Because I didn't think about it before Shabbos, because it wasn't ready? That's a new chiddush of mukta. You don't hold of that, you don't have mukta, you don't have noilat, it's all okay. And that's shot in Beis Shammai.
So, I mean, we just had a great svara why there should be a chilek between noilat and mukta. The Rambam said,
the Gemara has to throw it out the window, otherwise it's shot in Beis Shammai.
So what happened to our Havamim?
So the Gemara says that according to Beis Shammai, it must. Otherwise, what do you learn? Otherwise, why is Beis Shammai saying it's forbidden? It's permitted.
Before other reasons.
Okay. Okay. So now the Gemara said like this. So what comes out at the end? So the Gemara says Beis Shammai kereb Shemoin, who Beis Hillel kereb Yehuda. So what do we have now at the end? Beis Shammai holds like Reb Shimon that says we don't hold of such mukta, mukta noilat, all that out the window. Why? The egg is edible. It's not disgusting. It's not expensive. It's not a pen. So it wasn't ready before Shabbos. Who cares? Mukta is not a problem. That mukta is not a problem. Noilat is not a problem. Beis Shammai holds like Reb Shimon. Beis Hillel ki Reb Yehuda. And Beis Hillel holds like Reb Yehuda. And therefore, mukta is no good. Noilat is no good. And the egg is forbidden. Very simple. Pshat in the Mishnah. So Gemara has a question. Umi amar Rav Nachman hochi. How could Rav Nachman say like this, says Rashi? The Beis Hillel ki Reb Yehuda. How can you tell me that Rav Nachman saying that Beis Hillel holds like Reb Yehuda, and therefore he holds of mukta? Mukta is no good, noilat is no good, and that's why Beis Hillel says the egg is forbidden. It was created on Yom Tov, it's mukta, it wasn't permitted from beforehand, it's all no good. How could the Rav Nachman say Beis Hillel like Reb Yehuda? Votanan, we have another Mishnah that says like this. A different machlok is in Shabbos. Beis Shammai Omrim, Beis Shammai says, Magbiin ma'al ha'shulchan atzamos uklipin. What is that I'm talking about? Says Rashi. Magbiin b'Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're allowed to pick up them from the table. Atzamos she'enon ruin l'achila. Bones that are not edible. Uklipi egoizim. And shells of walnuts. V'loi chashin l'mukta. In other words, the Gemara Rashi Tosis explains that we're talking about bones of food. Is bones of food right now, is it edible for human consumption? No. Shells of walnuts, is it edible for human consumption? No, not edible. It is edible, by the way, for animals. But when I had it on the table, I had no idea. I didn't have any intention it was going to be used for animals. So Beis Hillel says, so Beis Shammai says, there's no problem. You can remove it off the table. You can remove it off the table, even though technically speaking, it's muktzah. Why? Because right now I can't eat it. And I didn't have intention to give it to animals. So it's again, it's like that, like the oil in the fire, that after the fire burnt out, the oil is muktzah. So Beis Shammai says, I'm not worried about muktzah. No problem whatsoever. You can move those shells. Even though technically I can't use it for anything now, and right now I can't use it. No problem. Lechashin lemuktzah, it's okay. U Beis Hillel, one second. Beis Shammai Imri Magbim Mal Shulchan Atzomah Zeklipin. U Beis Hillel Imri Hillel says, no. Misalik es atablo kula. You have to remove the entire plate. Umenavon, you have to shake it. Look in Rashi. Beis Hillel Imrim. You're not allowed to move these bones with your hands. It's muktzah. You have to remove the plate. Because the utensil that it's sitting on, that's okay. Because that's a kli. In other words, the walnut shells and the bones, that's not a kli. That's muktzah. You can't touch that. But how could you touch the shells? By picking up the plate. Right, that's okay. I am moving the thing that's tilta min atzad to the kalachiyad. That's okay. Why is the kli not a problem? Taisa says it's a basis for food and for non-food, and therefore the kli is not a problem either. So I can pick up the kli. But Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to move the actual shells. Why not? Because it's muktzah. So it makes a lot of sense. Again, this is something which right now is edible for animals, but I didn't have intention to have it for animals. So there again we see Beis Shammai says, you're allowed to move it, doesn't hold the muktzah. And Beis Hillel says, no, we hold the muktzah. V'omar Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman, when he heard this, he said, no, that doesn't make sense to me. Onu, ein lonu ele Beis Shammai k'reb Yehuda, u Beis Hillel k'reb Shimon. Rav Nachman says, no, I didn't like this. You're telling me that Beis Shammai says you're allowed to move it, and Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to move it? I don't like that. That means we always paskin like Beis Hillel. That means you're not allowed to move it. So Nachman didn't like that. What he did was, he changed around. He said, Beis Shammai is the one who says, you're not allowed to move it, because I hold, the Beis Shammai holds like a Yehuda, and Beis Hillel is the one who said, you're allowed to move it, because Beis Hillel like a Shimon. Look in Rashi. Vom Rav Nachman. Anu ein lanu, b'shitas mishne zu, l'fi shemuchlefes shitosa. I turned it around. Kach shumatim rabbeseinu. Beis Shammai holds like a Yehuda, that it's not allowed to move it. So what do we have? So Rav Nachman just came along and said, in this other braisa that we have, the other case with the bones, that originally it said, that Beis Shammai said it's okay, it doesn't hold a muktzah, and Beis Hillel said he holds a muktzah, comes along Rav Nachman and says, no, I don't like that. I'm changing it around. Change around the people. Beis Shammai is the one who says, it's muktzah like Rav Shimon, like Rav Yehuda, and Beis Hillel says, it's not muktzah, it's okay. So if that's who says this, Reb Nachman. Who says in our Mishnah, Pshat, the Machlik is Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, that Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to eat, you're allowed to eat it because you hold like Rabbi Shimon, and Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to eat the egg because you hold like a Yehuda? Also Reb Nachman. That's a steer and Reb Nachman. They're both Reb Nachman. How could Reb Nachman in our Mishnah say, Beis Shammai says you're allowed to eat the egg because he doesn't hold a muktzah. Beis Hillel says he holds a muktzah, you're not allowed to eat the egg. And when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, moving the bones, Rav Nachman is the one who jumped forward in the Beis Medrash, and he says, big mistake over here. Beis Shammai is the one who says, you're not allowed to move it, because he holds like a Yehuda. And Beis Hillel is the one who says, you're allowed to move it, because he holds like a Shimon. It's a steer of Nachman. So Amalekha Rav Nachman, said, I'll tell you the difference between, I hold both things. When it comes to Shabbos, which is the case of the bones, I hold that the Beis Hillel says there's no muktzah, and Beis Shammai says there is muktzah. I change it around. When it comes to our Mishnah, Beitza Shenol de Beyontif, so there I hold that Beis Shammai holds yet no muktzah, and Beis Hillel says yes muktzah. There's a difference between Shabbos and Yontif. How do I know that, says Rav Nachman? So says Rav Nachman, look what he writes. Says Gemara, Amalecha Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman answers, no. Gabe Shabbos, by Shabbos, Hilchas Shabbos, the Sosam Lontano Kerebi Shimon. You know why? Because I follow Rav Nachman. When did Rav Nachman live? He lived in the year 300. right? After Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So Nachman says, listen, I don't know. I'm a simple person. I follow Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So I see that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, in Hilchei Shabbos, he always holds like Rabbi Shimon. He brings down Stam Mishnah without anybody arguing, like Rabbi Shimon, that says, you don't hold a Muktzah. So when it comes to Hilchei Shabbos, I have to make Beis Hillel fit with Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi to make it that if Beis Hillel holds, there's no problem of Muktzah. Because there I found another case where Beis Hillel says that, where Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi says that we hold like Rabbi Shimon, there's no such thing as Muktzah. And therefore, when it comes to Hilchei Shabbos, I want to make Beis Hillel fit Rabbi Shimon, that there's no such thing as Muktzah. But when it comes to Yom Tov, where I found another Mishnah of Rabbeinu HaKadosh that I hold, that he holds as a problem of Muktzah, there I make Beis Hillel fit that he holds of Muktzah, and therefore I make Beis Shammai follow Reb Shimon and Beis Hillel follow Reb Yehuda. Where is this from? So the Gemara says like this: Amlech Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, Gabi Shabbos by Shabbos, the Sosam Lon Tanda Kerebi Shemoin. That the Tanda, who is the Tanda? Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi found a Stam Mishnah, Sosam, he made it Stam, a Tanda like Reb Shimon. How do I know? The Tanda, because I found a Mishnah in Shabbos, another Mishnah, that says, Mechatchin Esadluin Lifnei Abehema. You're allowed to cut the zucchinis in front of the animal. In other words, if you have zucchinis that you have on Shabbos, you're allowed to give it to the animal to eat. Why not? Animal food. Ve'esanevelo lifnei haklovin. And an animal that died, my goat that died on Shabbos, right? I can feed it to my dogs on Shabbos. Wait a second. Isn't that carcass? Isn't that muktzah? After all, it was created on Shabbos as an avela. But nevertheless, the Mishnah says, you're allowed to feed it. So what do we see? That this type of muktzah, which wasn't in existence before Shabbos started, and on Shabbos it became a dead animal, my goat became a dead animal on Shabbos, it's not muktzah. I'm allowed to feed it to the dogs on Shabbos. So therefore, since I see that Rabbeinu HaKadosh, when he brings a Stam Mishnah, he says a general halacha that you're allowed to feed an animal that died, a goat that died, you're allowed to feed it to your dogs on Shabbos. So there must be that he holds that when it comes to Shabbos, I don't hold of this concept of muktzah. So when I talk about the bones, I have to make Beis Hillel fit that you're allowed to move the bones, and therefore he turned it around, because when it comes to Shabbos, there's no such problem of muktzah. Mukim lo le Beis Hillel ki Reb Shimon. And therefore, when it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to the bones, I make Beis Hillel fit with Rabbi Shimon that says there's no problem muktzah, and you're allowed to move the bones on Shabbos. What? We're going to get there. Gemara's going to say why Yom Tov is more machmir than Shabbos. But let's first see what he says. We're going to get. Avol gabei Yom Tov. Let's just finish. Avol gabei Yom Tov. But on Yom Tov, the Sosam Lontano ke Rabbi Yehuda, where I found another Mishnah, Stam Mishnah, like Rabbi Yehuda, that says what? That there is a problem of Muktzah. How do I know? Did Nan. Again, Rabbeinu HaKadosh found another Mishnah. Nobody argues. Ein mevakim eitzim min hakeiros. I'm cold on Yom Tov. Am I allowed to take wood and add it to my fire in Yom Tov? Yes, I'm allowed to have fire for wood in Yom Tov, of course. Now, could I chop the wood? Could I take the wood and put in the fire from the koiros? Koiros is Rashi. Ein mevakim eitzim. Be Yom Tov, loy min hakoiros hasdura zu al gavzu bekaka v'oim dais lebinyan. Which means I have wood that's set aside for construction. Not for firewood. I have wood set aside for construction. Could I use that wood and put it into my fire? Says the Mishnah, you cannot use it. Why not? Because it was not meant from before Yom Tov for firewood. It was meant for construction wood. So there the Tanna says, Ein mevakim etzim min hakoiros. I can use the wood, I can chop the wood, which are set for construction. V'loy min hakoiros shenishbro. Or if I have a piece of beam that broke in half on Yom Tov, because lightning struck my wood and it broke in half, I got a good piece of wood now. Can I put it in my fire? Says Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the Mishnah says, I can't use it in Yom Tov. Why not? Because it was muktzah. Why is it muktzah? Right now I can use it for my fire because it was not set aside from before Yom Tov. So what do we see? That Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbeinu Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, when he brings the regular Mishnah, he is machmer and yantif, and he says it's something which is technically, there's nothing wrong with it, it's firewood, but it wasn't set aside as firewood from before yantif. Says Rabbeinu Kaddish, you can't use it. Ein mevakim etzim min hakeres, v'loy min hakeres, nis b'yantif. So therefore, mukim lo lebeis hillel ki Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, when it comes to our Mishnah, beitza shenol de b'yantif, which is yantif, so he has to say, Bishamai says, it's okay, because I hold like Reb Shimon, there's no problem of muktzah, there's no problem of noilat. And beis hillel, who we paskin like, on yantif says, there's a problem of muktzah, there's a problem of noilat, and therefore the egg is forbidden. Let's just finish one thing. Michdi, man sasmei lemasnisin, who is the one who makes tam the Mishnah? Rebbe. Rebbe is the one who said, hey, think about it. Rebbe, when it comes to Shabbos, he says, you're allowed to give the carcass to the animal on Shabbos to eat. Why? There's no problem muktzah. And when it comes to yantif, he says, the firewood that was meant for construction. You want to use a firewood? I cannot use that for yantif. Maishna b'Shabbos, the sasan lon k'Reb Shimon. Why in Shabbos? What's the difference in Shabbos? He makes like Reb Shimon. Umaishna b'Yantif, the sasan lon k'Reb Yehuda. And why in Yantif does he say that he holds like Reb Yehuda and therefore you can't use the firewood? What's the difference? Shabbos Yantif. Why is Yantif more strict than Shabbos? Amri Sigmar says Shabbos the chamira. Shabbos is strict anyway. Nobody's going to make fun of Shabbos. Nobody's going to denigrate it. So there I'll be makel like Reb Shimon. Something which was not set aside, and now you want to use it. That's okay. The makel yantiv the kill, but yantiv which is anyway easy by people. The machmir. So therefore, when it comes to yantiv, he says I'm going to follow Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore Rabbi says on yantiv halach lemaisa. If you have firewood that's meant for construction, I want to use it now for firewood that's not set aside. What's halacha? I follow like Rabbi Yehuda, and it's considered muktzah. And therefore, says Rav Nachman, when it comes beitza shenol de biyantif, Beishama says it's forbidden. Why is it forbidden? Because Beishama says permitted. Why is it permitted? Because there's no moilet, there's no muktzah. This type of noilet, this type of muktzah is not a problem. Right now, I can use it. Beishama says okay. Beishila says no. On yantif we're machmir, and beitza shenol de biyantif is forbidden because it's noilat and it's called muktzah. That's what the first part of the Gemara says. Now, if you want to...
Why is
Bishamay Machmer Shabbos?
He just gave us for not to be Machmer Shabbos.
What do you mean?
The sheet is flipped.
But correct.
On Shabbos.
Correct.
So why is Bishamay Machmer Shabbos?
Oh, meaning, by Beitza, Bishamay should not be Machmer Shabbos.
Bishamay is Mekel on Yom Tov.
Correct.
Which means he's Machmer
Shabbos. Oh, so, but he's not Machmer Shabbos. Right, and opposite.
We say he holds like...
And you can ask a better question. Why Beis Hillel on Yontif, you tell me it's forbidden. But Beis Hillel, the Yontif would be permitted on Shabbos. So Beis Hillel, the Shabbos would be permitted to be eaten raw on Shabbos. Would that be the halacha?
According to
this reasoning, the Gemara, if an egg gets laid on Shabbos, I can't cook the egg on Shabbos. Could I eat it raw on Shabbos?
Maple, yeah.
According to this, you should be able to be makel. Correct.
According
yes.
To hold it raw on
Shabbos. What?
According to this, we hold like a shim.
Correct. When it comes to this type of muktzah, this. Well, not muktzah machen sonkes, not muktzah, none of muktzahs. Muktzah was something which is nothing wrong with it. It just it wasn't set aside. No, klishim lach lisser, that a person. No, klishim lach lisser, a person doesn't want to use. It's klishim lach lisser. Something. Okay, but.
Is there an opinion of owning Shabbos a little bit here?
To make it worse, to make it better, you mean?
To make it better, what's.
Maybe.
It sounds like it's not the clear line what defines.
Okay, who didn't daven marv? Is the minion for not daven marv? Okay, who daven marv? Yeah, if you want to have the sheets, I'm happy to give it to you. I'll make copies of it. No, I don't have it in English yet, but if you want to go through the questions, very easy. I'm happy. I'll make a copy of it, and we'll send it online.
Rav, how much time?
What?
The whole Gemara we're trying to book him is based Hillel, according to Rav Shimon. Based Hillel by Shammai, we're generating